God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, inside of all of us, the Old Testament says, is there no king inside of you? You know, you got a king, just not counting God. You're your own king. But let me tell you, inside of you, something else called a fool. Inside of all of us is a king and a fool. David knew how to act like the king and knew how to act like a fool. But when you let that king take precedence over your king, you humble yourself to him, you won't act like a fool. You'll just act like the king. Hallelujah. I want to read Psalms 44 and 8 in your presence. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. Read it again. Let's read it together. Ready? In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. One more time. Lift up your voice. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. I want to preach for a little while from that little short piece, In God We Boast. I know our coins say, In God We Trust, and all others pay cash. But in God we boast. Let God be truth, and all men be a liar. There's not one but righteous, and it's not you, it's him. In God we boast. Lord, I come before you today. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to be able to speak to people that want to receive the word. They wouldn't have come here if they didn't have something that they needed and something they need from you, not from me, but from you today. Glory to God. Let me deliver what you have for them. Help us, Lord, to rise above our circumstances, for truly the Christian thing is I will rise again. And we're thankful for, Lord, that you died and rose again and gave us hope in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a blessed hope it is. I enjoyed Brother Gidrow's sermon this morning, because if you don't have hope, you see, there was a time when I was growing through high school, I remember Time magazine. It was like, in the face of it, God is dead. Let me remember that era of Time. God is dead. Just me. Okay. Well, a couple of y'all do. Yeah, y'all weren't here. So it was like, well, if he was alive, he must have died, because we don't see, you know, or whatever their reasoning was. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, that someone asked me to write an essay about proving that God lived, and that there was a God. And when it all got, I got through with it, I wrote one sentence. You prove there's not. I sent a letter back to the person that said that, wanted that essay. I said, you prove he's not. Now, the burden of proof is on you. I know what I got. For to write Isaiah, to write, for a son, to us a son is born, and the chastisement of his peace shall be upon us, and a virgin shall conceive, and thousands of years later, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save, and by his stripes, just this alone proves me. That's all I need right here. That's all I need. Whether I ever felt him, whether I ever got the Holy Ghost or didn't get the Holy Ghost. See, that's why I know, because you don't know something till you've tasted. That's why David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've said hundreds of times, you don't know chocolate ice cream is good till you taste it. But when you taste it, it's pretty good stuff. And so it is with this. You don't know about God. And that's why David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because you taste it, you're going to know he's real. But just to know that you could prophesy so many thousands of years, and they put this little book together, and it goes, well, we just said that here, and it, you know, it takes a lot of faith, I do believe, to believe that there is a God. No man can come to the God except the Spirit and the Father draw him, right? And you first must believe that he is, and secondly, that he is a rewarder of them that what half-heartedly seek him. Everyone's diligently seek him. So people that don't want to believe, they don't diligently seek that to find out that there is or is not. And so what happens is it takes a lot of faith. It takes faith, the just shall walk by faith, to believe there's a God. But can I tell you this? It takes more faith to believe there's not. Yes, sir. It takes more faith to believe there's not a God when you look at how things, the birth, I mean, how something, a union of two cells can come together and you come out with a living, breathing thing, you know, that's just like mama and daddy. I mean, it takes a lot of faith to believe there's not a God. But you know, have you ever been someplace and you're like, I feel like he's looking at me? You ever done that? Somebody looking at me. You know, you get that feeling, somebody's looking at you. You're trying, sure enough, you know. And you don't, I know you're there just when you get close to me. I feel your presence, you see. Same thing. God's looking at me. That's what keeps me from, so I'll tell you things I would probably, if he's looking at me. You might not see me, but he's looking at me. And it's like, I can't do that because he's watching me. And so his presence just lets me know that he's there. I could close my eyes and touch you. You're going to know I'm there without seeing me. And he told Philip, no wonder. He said, bless your eyes, you see me. But more blessed are those that believe and have not seen. But Lord, he's touched me. How many of you have been touched by the hand of the Lord? He's touched me. Hallelujah. And when he's touched me, it's like the woman said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Just as clothes healed people. Hallelujah. In God we boast. As I was thinking about how men boast, you know. How many of you women know that men boast? How many of you men know that women gossip? You know, even in deer hunting, brother, I like shoot 8 points, 10 points, and them little spikes don't give you any bragging power. You know, these don't little spike. What'd you kill? Oh, it's a spike. You know, what'd you kill? Oh, 10 point. Let me show you this 10 point I killed here. Let me see. You know, and you're boasting about all that. You know, but they eat the same. In fact, the little one tastes better than that big one. And we have to be careful. Now, there's the boasting that's just, you know, it's just talk. And then there's the boasting that I'm somebody. When Satan boasted, he said, I will rise above, I will be. And he was too many eyes of what he got kicked out of heaven. And we got his place. We really did. We got his place of worshiping. He was that worship angel. He was the music angel. And now we sing songs that he used to sing. Or wished he could sing again. And so, you know, this boasting, we have to be careful. One man said, he was boasting, he said, boy, I had my wife on her knees yesterday begging me. Another guy said, well, what did she say? She's on her knees begging you. She said, come out from underneath that bed and fight like a man. Boast. Men will boast about anything they can find themselves to boast about. Lord, help me, Jesus. In God we boast. I want to read some more foundational scriptures, if you'll bear with me this morning, John 1 and 16. And of his fullness have all we received. Oh, how many has received his fullness? A touch is good, but I want his fullness. Grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Romans 2 and 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. Now, Paul is talking to this Roman church. He's kind of rebuking them because they're boasting about how scholars they are in the law. You know, the Pharisees, well, they knew the chapter and the verse. They could quote it. They couldn't live it, but they could quote it. And so he's talking to them. He said, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God. It's not possible for you to rest in the law and make your boast of God. And knowest his will? And approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law. Through breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God. Boasting of how you know the law, and you dishonor God because you can't keep the law. I'll be honest with you, I hate the law. I hate it. Now, I will tell you, it let me know what's inside of me, but I still hate it. Can I tell y'all, I'm sorry. They put a new turning lane there on Holly Hill Road, and they're making you turn right. They narrowed it because turning left with all the traffic coming down, it just stops it up really bad. So they make you turn left. Can I tell you, I've seen two cops turn left. They come up there and parked and turned left. Wait a minute, you're the law. Can I write you up a ticket? Because if I turn left, you're going to get me. That's why I hate the law. And so it is, too, that I come to a light, and they were writing people up, literally standing in the road, writing people up because, you know, the traffic gets bad at times. Now, I didn't get a ticket, but I watched them write them. And they had these cameras there. They were sending people. Some of y'all got some of that. And so sending people tickets because they can take your picture right when you run that light or you stop out in the intersection, right? They don't want you to stop in the intersection. You're blocking the traffic. So I get up to the light, and it turns red. I stop. Well, the other cars, you know, keep coming. Guess who stops in front of me and stops up the intersection? The cop. It turned red and green two times before he moved. And I'm like, get my phone, take a picture of your license plate and of you, and send that into City Hall. See, that's what the law does. It riles you up because it's not fair at all. You that do this, and you make God a dishonor. Let me go deeper before I get too stirred up. Ephesians 2 and 7, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, not through the law, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should. Yeah, he's going to make sure that you can't keep the law. None of you can keep the law. So you'll never boast about, look at me. His fullness, he says, have we received grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace is that fulfillment of the law. And the law was given by a servant of God, but grace and truth came by the Son of God. Oh, yes. The law speaks of what a man ought to be. But grace speaks of what a man can be. The law reveals who a man is, but grace reveals who God is. It stirs me up. It lets me know there's stuff still in me. When you see the law, the ones that write the law don't obey the law, but they want me to obey it. The law, the Bible says, is the letter, and the letter does what? Killeth. And the Spirit is what makes alive. Boasting in the law. Hear this. Oh, this is where it gets good. Boasting in the law brings about your own death. It brings about your own death. But to boast in Christ, in God, brings about life. And life everlasting. To boast in the law will bring about your own destruction. Moses represented the law, and it brought about death. Jesus represented truth and grace, and it brought about life. You will see on the Mount of Transfiguration, two men with Jesus Christ that was in white raiment, bright as the noonday sun. Who were they? Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet, so that Christ would be the fulfillment. They like shook hands and said, we're going to get along in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I am going to fulfill everything that the law and the prophets requested. He silenced the law by putting a law in a man's heart. The first miracle that Moses ever did was what? Anybody know? not crossing the Red Sea. The first miracle he did once they got across the Red Sea, The first miracle he ever did before they crossed the Red Sea was he turned the water into blood. The lawgiver turned the water into blood. It was a sign of death. Yet you look at Jesus Christ, the first miracle he ever did was turning the water into wine, which was a sign of life and celebration. Moses was the lawgiver on Mount Sinai, with had the Ten Commandments, and as he comes down, the law brought death. Are you hearing me? The law brings about your own death. The law brings about, when you boast about who you are, you bring about your own death. Moses coming down with Ten Commandments, okay? Children of Israel hadn't been delivered long out of Egypt bondage, very victorious. We don't read about death and him slaying them and all this kind of stuff until now. All this happened once the law was given. Here's Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments, and he hears the sound of, is it war? Is it victory in the camp? He gets down there and he sees them, the Bible says, naked, dancing around another God. And he's got these ten, and the first one says, "Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and him only shall we serve." And he threw it down. Now, when he got down there, he was so angry, he said, "I want to ask you a question. Who is on the Lord's side? Let them come unto me." And the tribe of Levites went over to Moses and got against him, and the rest of them stayed over there, which was represented the priesthood. And the priesthood came up to Moses and said, "We're with you." He said, now watch. He said, "Gird about your sword." And 3,000 people died that day. That's what the law does. 3,000 people died because they broke the first commandment. Yet when Christ died and the Holy Ghost was given, 3,000 souls was added to the church that day. Because grace and truth brings life, but the law brought death. My, what a comparison I could make this morning, but time won't permit. Because God and Moses, God, Jesus fulfilled everything the law was. The law didn't really start with Moses. It started with God in the Garden of Eden. What did he tell them? "Thou shalt eat of every tree in the garden freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat." They broke it. What happened? Death. Anytime you break the law or boast of the law, you bring about your own destruction. Mm-mm-mm. The law brings the end of everything. Romans chapter 7, we find that Paul tells us, he said, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence," which is excessive desire. It's like I'm telling you this morning, frustrated that the law, the people that would write me up, if I turn left, you write me up, but you can turn left and nobody does anything. That's frustrating. And he said, it wrought all manner of concupiscence in me. For without the law, sin was dead. As long as you didn't have it to where we had to do that, I didn't care whether you turned left or right. But now that you made it a law, I got to care. For he said, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Something's got